Today is Tuesday. It is August 9th, 2022. I'm Jim McPherson, and I'll be reading today from the front pages of the Hartford Courant and the New York Times, starting with a review of the photos on the front pages of these two morning newspapers. Let's start with the Courant, and above the fold, there's a small picture of a gas station with the prices that the gas station is charging prominently displayed. The headline says, "Some respite for motorists as prices fall." And the caption says, "Gas prices in parts of Connecticut have dropped below $4 a gallon for the first time since March." And then below that, we have a large picture of two individuals, one older, one younger, at a voting district. The sign says it's District Number 4. And the caption tells us that this is a picture of Pancho Torres and his grandson, Jalen Torres, as they set up the District 4 poll station at the Hartford International University for Religion and Peace on Monday. Pancho Torres, who is the Hartford setup crew supervisor for all 24 districts, is in his 11th year working for the city, having started after he retired from the Hartford's payroll department in 2011. And then below that, we have a smaller picture of Jalen Torres in the background with two of the voting desks in the foreground. Jalen Torres has been working with his grandfather, Pancho, for 2 years, setting up poll stations, the caption tells us. Pancho Torres told The Courant that smaller primaries and elections do not always motivate people to come out and vote. And of course, today is a day when Connecticut voters are heading to the polls. And then finally, below that, we have a small picture of a group of women who are filling plastic bottles with what we do not know. But the headline says U.S. pledges $1 billion more in aid, and the caption tells us that in the foreground we have a woman who fills plastic bottles provided by an Odessa volunteer group Monday in Mykolaiv, Ukraine. And now for photos from the New York Times. The largest photograph shows a picture taken from the air of Mar-a-Lago, former President Donald Trump's current residence. The captions and headline read, "FBI searches Mar-a-Lago," Trump says. "Focus appears to be on material taken from the White House." Other photos that we have of interest show a picture of Olivia Newton-John, who is the pop singer and Grease star. She has died at the age of 73. She amassed number one hits and multi-million selling records. A beloved figure, she was also a prominent advocate for cancer research. And then below that, we have a small picture of David McAuliffe, a best-selling explorer of America's past, who has died, according to the headline. Mr. McAuliffe's research was deep. His writing was lively, and his narrator's voice in documentary films was familiar to millions. He was 89. As long as we're on the front page of the New York Times, let's go to their lead story. And again, it runs under the headline, "FBI searches Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida." The subheadline, "The former president called the search an assault and complained that authorities had broken into a safe." The news appeared to come as a surprise to top aides at the White House. This article is by Maggie Haberman, Ben Protas, and Adam Goldman. Former President Donald J. Trump said Monday that the FBI had searched his Palm Beach, Florida home and had broken open a safe, an account signaling a major escalation in the various investigations into the final stages of his presidency. The search, according to multiple people familiar with the investigation, appeared to be focused on material that Mr. Trump had brought with him to Mar-a-Lago, his private club and residence, when he left the White House. Those boxes contained many pages of classified documents, according to a person familiar with their contents. By Monday night, a couple dozen supporters of former President Donald J. Trump had gathered across the street from his private residence in Palm Beach, Florida, some holding Trump-Pence flags from their 2020 campaign, others wearing red Make America Great Again caps. But all were united in their anger over the news that federal authorities had conducted a search of Mar-a-Lago and, according to Mr. Trump, had even broken into a safe. Vehicles of Trump supporters lined South Ocean Boulevard, and people had gotten out of their cars to express their support, some rather loudly. It's unusual for senior government officials to be charged in connection with mishandling classified information. There have been some high-profile exceptions, like General David H. Petraeus and President Bill Clinton's National Security Advisor, Samuel R. Berger. The FBI's search of former President Donald J. Trump's Mar-a-Lago home in Florida drew swift condemnation on Monday evening from some Republican governors who quickly backed Mr. Trump's message that the Justice Department was being used against him. Mr. Trump decried the search, which appears to be focused on potentially classified material he took from the White House to his Palm Beach home, in a statement as a weaponization of the justice system, and an effort to prevent him from running for president again in 2024. The entrance to Trump's golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey, his summer White House, when he was in office, was quiet on Monday night. The club is located in a rural area near a number of horse farms and does not have a gate. A black SUV was parked there, apparently as a makeshift barrier. In the wake of the FBI search of former President Donald J. Trump's property in Florida, the House committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol is gearing up to meet with two potentially key witnesses in its separate inquiry on Tuesday. The committee is expected to meet with Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State under Mr. Trump, and Douglas V. Mastriano, the Republican nominee for governor of Pennsylvania, who served as a point person in the state for a plan to keep Mr. Trump in power by using slates of alternative or fake electors. Top Republicans and prominent conservatives reacted with outrage on Monday night to the news that the FBI had searched the private residence of former President Donald J. Trump, with some suggesting that federal agents should be arrested, and others hinting that the court-approved law enforcement action against Mr. Trump was pushing the country toward political chaos. Quote, "I've seen enough," unquote, Representative Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader, wrote in a statement that he posted online. Quoting again, "The Department of Justice has reached an intolerable state of weaponized politicization," unquote. Early reports that the FBI search of former President Donald J. Trump's residence in Florida related to an investigation into whether he had unlawfully taken government files when he left the White House focused attention on an obscure criminal law barring removal of official records. The penalties for breaking that law include disqualification from holding any federal office. To the front page of the Hartford Current now for the only national or international story that made the cut for the front page coverage. It runs under the headline, U.S. Pledges $1 Billion More in Aid. The subheadline, Zelensky Expresses Thanks for New Offer of Rockets and Ammo. This by Lolita C. Baldor and Ellen Nickmeyer of the Associated Press. The Biden administration said Monday that it was shipping its biggest yet direct delivery of weapons to Ukraine as that country prepares for a potentially decisive counteroffensive in the south against Russia, sending $1 billion in rockets, ammunition, and other material to Ukraine from Defense Department stockpiles. The new U.S. arms shipment would further strengthen Ukraine as it mounts the counteroffensive, which analysts say for the first time could allow Kyiv to shape the course of the rest of the war, now at the half-year mark. Kyiv aims to push Russian troops back out of Kherson and other southern territory near the Dnipro River. Russia in recent days was moving troops and equipment in the direction of the southern port cities to stave off the Ukrainian counteroffensive. Quote, "At every stage of this conflict, we have been focused on getting the Ukrainians what they need, depending on the evolving conditions on the battlefield," unquote, Colin Kahl, Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, said Monday in announcing the new weapons shipment. The new U.S. aid includes additional rockets for the High Mobility Artillery Rocket Systems, or HIMARS, as well as thousands of artillery rounds, mortar systems, javelins, and other ammunition and equipment. Military commanders and other U.S. officials say the HIMARS and artillery systems have been crucial in Ukraine's fight to block Russia from taking more ground. While the U.S. has already provided 16 HIMARS to Ukraine, Call said that the new package does not include additional ones. Quote, "These are not systems that we assess you need in the hundreds to have the type of effects," unquote, said Call. Quoting again, "These are precision-guided systems for very particular types of targets, and the Ukrainians are using them as such," unquote. He declined to say how many of the precision-guided missile systems for the HIMARS were included in Monday's announcement, but said the U.S. has provided, quote, "multiple hundreds," unquote, of them in recent weeks. The latest announcement brings the total U.S. security assistance committed to Ukraine by the Biden administration to more than $9 billion. Back now to the New York Times for this. Biden is on a roll that any president would relish. Is it a turning point? The subhead, White House aides say the string of victories compares favorably to the two-year legislative record of most any other modern president. This article by Peter Baker. President Biden arrived at Air Force One on Monday with a jaunty step, a playful manner, and a huge grin. Quote, "feeling great," unquote, he declared. He meant physically, having finally ended his lengthy bout with COVID-19, but he could have been talking about his presidency writ large. Mr. Biden has emerged from medical isolation to a new political world. Suddenly, the administration that could not get anything right, that could not catch a break, was on a roll that any president would relish. Major legislation cruising to passage, at least some economic indicators heading in the right direction, and the world's most wanted terrorist killed after a two-decade manhunt. Those early aspirations to being another Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon B. Johnson, the ones that felt like so much hubris in the past few months, are being heard again in the halls of the West Wing and the Capitol. White House aides argue that the string of congressional victories, capped by the package of climate, health, and tax provisions that finally cleared the Senate over the weekend, compares favorably to the two-year legislative record of most any other president, even perhaps FDR and LBJ. Whether the victories of recent weeks will prove to be decisive as a turning point for Mr. Biden's presidency or merely a transitory moment in an otherwise bleak administration, of course, remains to be seen. Mr. Biden is still one of the most unpopular presidents in modern history at this point in his term, according to polls, and even some House Democrats quietly worry that none of the achievements will save them from an electoral rout in November. While the domestic package that advanced over the weekend is broadly popular in surveys, and many of its individual components overwhelmingly so, Republicans hope to pull out particular elements and use them as wedge issues against Democrats, characterizing the measure as a tax increase that will empower the IRS to go after middle-class Americans without fighting inflation. Democrats will retaliate by accusing Republicans of voting against drug relief for seniors on behalf of industry patrons. But for now, at least, Mr. Biden has broken the paralysis that hindered his policy agenda and perhaps dispelled the notion that he could not work his will on Congress, where he served for 36 years. He did it, paradoxically, in part by pulling back and letting senators work out their own differences rather than negotiating himself, resisting the impulses of his days as a lawmaker. Now Mr. Biden and his cabinet officers are planning events and trips in coming days in hopes of translating the victories to public support. Quote, "Do I expect it to help?" unquote, he said on Monday in response to reporters who asked if the latest legislation would make a difference in the midterm elections. Quote, "Yes, I do," unquote. From the World and Nation pages of the Hartford Courant, there's this headline, Republicans try to adjust to abortion backlash. Stance on bans gets softer for some in wake of Kansas vote. This by Jonathan Weissman and Katie Gluick of the New York Times. Republican candidates facing a stark reality check from Kansas voters are softening their once uncompromising stands against abortion as they move toward the general election, recognizing that strict bans are unpopular and that the issue may be a major driver in the fall campaign. In swing states and even conservative corners of the country, several Republicans have shifted their talk on abortion bans, newly emphasizing support for exceptions. Some have noticeably stopped discussing details at all. Pitched battles in Republican-dominated state legislatures have broken out now that the Supreme Court has made what has long been a theoretical argument a reality. In Pennsylvania, Doug Mastriano, the Republicans' ardently anti-abortion candidate for governor, has lately taken to saying, quote, the people of Pennsylvania will decide what abortion looks like, unquote, in the state, not the governor. In Minnesota, Scott Jensen, a family physician who said in March that he would, quote, try to ban abortion, unquote, as governor, said in a video released before the Kansas vote that he does support some exceptions, quote, if I've been unclear previously, I want to be clear now, unquote. Republican consultants for Senate and House campaigns said Thursday that while they still believe inflation and the economy will drive voters to the GOP, candidates are going to have to talk about abortion to blunt Democratic attacks that the party's position is extreme. They have started advising Republicans to endorse bans that allow exceptions for pregnancies from rape or incest, or those that threaten the life of the mother. They have told candidates to emphasize care for women during and after their pregnancies. Quote, if we're going to ban abortion, there are things that we've got to do to make sure that the need for abortion is reduced and that women are not endangered, unquote, said Representative Nancy Mace, Republican of South Carolina, who won an exemption for rape and incest in her state's abortion law as a state representative. Now, she says Republicans need to press to expand access to gynecological and obstetrics care, contraception, including emergency contraception, and even protect the right of women to leave their states to get an abortion without fear of prosecution. The recalibration for some began before voters of deeply Republican Kansas voted overwhelmingly Tuesday against removing abortion rights from the state's constitution. Remaining in the Hartford Courant for this headline, two more life sentences in Arbery case, this by Russ Bynum of the Associated Press. The white father and son convicted of murder in Ahmaud Arbery's fatal shooting after they chased the 25-year-old black man through a Georgia neighborhood were sentenced Monday to life in prison for committing a federal hate crime. U.S. District Court Judge Lisa Godby Wood handed down the sentences against Travis McMichael, 36, and his father, Greg McMichael, 66, reiterating the gravity of the February 2020 killing that shattered their Brunswick community. William Roddy Bryan, 52, who recorded cell phone video of the slaying, was sentenced to 35 years in prison. Quote, a young man is dead. Ahmaud Arbery will be forever 25, and what happened, a jury found, happened because he's black, unquote, Wood said.